Millennial Influence, my podcast, 92. Them's fighting words. Parenting can be a challenge, but help is just a click away. Welcome to my podcast, a great resource for parents of teens. In this corner, a mom who has asked her daughter Shelly a simple question. And in this corner is Shelly, ready to step into the ring and deal a 1-2 punch response. Today's topic, them's fighting words. I can't talk to my kid without it ending in a fight. Let's get ready to rumble.
All right, everybody back to their corners. We got to figure this out. If every conversation you have ends in a fight, then we need to get everybody in their quarters.
Have you ever felt that way, Darren? Like you're in a sparring match with somebody?
No, never.
And you can't even seem to speak to them without it turning into a big deal.
I have never felt that way. Every conversation I ever have with you, I mean, people is fine. Listen, communicating with teenagers is difficult when everything is working perfectly. And so if every conversation you have ends in a fight, and that's not an exaggeration, but an actual reality, mm-hmm. we need to break that down and figure out where that's coming from.
Right. Probably one or of several reasons are at the bottom of that. One of the things can be just that y'all haven't figured out how to fight fair yet. You don't know how to fight nice. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, some things that you as the parent can do to try to de-escalate that situation as you see it brewing. That's one of the things we really want to hit on. But before we go into the details of that, we want to talk a little bit about if you really are fighting with your teenager constantly,
Before you jump in there, let me just say, and now there are really kind of three things, what you just said, but also sometimes you just need to recognize it's hormonal. Okay. And sometimes you fight with your kids because they're hormonal and they really have no control over what they're saying. I mean, it's just coming out and they're just being butts because it's hormonal. But then what Katie was about to say is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong.
All right.
We may have a fight right here in front of y'all.
Not this time.
A lot of times the fight, if every time you talk, it ends in a fight, there are some underlying issues. It's not just that you haven't learned to fight fairly. It's not just that they're hormonal, but it's truly that there are some underlying issues that your kids are having or maybe that you're having, and it's coming out, it's eking out, and what you're fighting over is not really what the fight is about.
Right. And so those kinds of situations, if you know that that is the problem that you're having, parent, you may need to go ahead and see a counselor. Y'all need to have a mediator in that. You need to have someone who can help y'all work through this situation. So we just want to let you know up front, we can give you some tips and some tools on how to try to avoid the constant battling and fighting and escalating of the situation, but we cannot help you with these deep-seated issues. Y'all really need to go to a professional for that.
You need to have somebody who can actually mediate for you, who's an unbiased person who can basically help you negotiate out what the true issue is. And a lot of times kids can't find the true issue just because they are hormonal, mm-hmm. and they don't even know what the true issue is, but you just know there's something deeper there. And so when that happens, go get some help.
Right.
Find somebody
right.
who can help you. There's no admission of fault in that. There's no admission of, I can't do this. I can't do this. All that admits to everybody around you is that, man, you're a great parent because you recognize your limitations and you found somebody who can help you.
Okay. In the meantime, though,
yes.
If you know that this is not something that's brewing under the surface because y'all are having a lot of family problems or because your kid has had some kind of history in the past that's making them fight with you all the time, if this is just normal, y'all are just fighting and you cannot talk to each other without fighting with each other, let us help you, give you some tips on how to kind of navigate that a little bit so that y'all can have a conversation and work through some of these things. One of the things that we have talked a lot about in the past is active listening, really trying to hear what your teenager is saying and reflect that back to them in a way that you are showing that you understand what they're saying to you. So, what some ways that you can do that?
You want to use a lot of I messages. So, when you're in the middle of a fight and an argument, don't talk about what your kid is doing wrong. Talk about how you feel. So, you might want to say, instead of, "You're so irritating, I can't stand it," you might want to say, "You know, I feel exasperated when I can't communicate with you." And even though you're saying the exact same thing, you're saying it in a completely different way, where essentially you take on the responsibility
right.
for what's happening. Now, you may not feel responsible,
mm-hmm.
and you're not necessarily admitting that, you know, this whole thing is your fault.
Right.
But what you are doing is you're expressing to your kid how you feel, instead of putting them on the defensive by telling them how they are.
Right.
So using I messages is vital. You want to do that at all costs. You want to be, what the Bible says is you should be quick to listen mm-hmm. and slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so active listening means that you're not preparing your answer in your head as your kid's talking. So they say something and you know you have a response to that. You don't just come off with that response, or you don't be formulating your response or thinking about yourself. You just be quick to listen and slow to speak, even slow to speak in your head, so that, you know, you really do hear everything that your kid is saying to you.
Right. Another thing that you can try that may help you is something called mirroring or reflecting what the other person is saying. So your
Before
teenager,
we go, let's just say you feel retarded when you do this. I'm just telling you. We do it in our household and you feel like a complete idiot, but it works.
Okay. So your teenager says to you, "I just can't stand you."
So what you're saying is you hate me.
That's not what I'm saying. I just can't stand to be around you.
So what you're saying is you don't want to be in my presence.
Yeah, right now I don't want to be in your presence. So yes. So you keep doing that back and forth. You are literally trying to figure out what they are saying to you.
You want to repeat back to them what you heard, because a lot of times our kids have trouble communicating. I know mm-hmm. that's a shock to everyone listening. Kids have trouble communicating. And if you repeat back to them what they said, sometimes they're like, "Oh, well, no, that's not what I meant to say. That's mm-hmm. not what I mean at all." And so they rephrase it until finally they're actually saying what they mean instead of what's just tumbling out of their pie hole, you know?
Right.
So, but if you don't mirror back to them, sometimes they don't realize they're saying that. And you know what? That also works in reverse.
Right.
And if you can teach your kids this mirroring technique, sometimes when you're fussing at them, they can mirror back to you, and A, either you hear how horrible you sound to them,
yeah,
or B, you realize that you're just not communicating with them in a way they understand, and so you can rephrase, redirect, say it another way, so that they actually get what you mean.
Right. So that does take practice, though. Both of these things that we've just told you how to do take practice. So you can start practicing that in a safe environment when you're not in the middle of conflict, so that when you do get into the conflict with your teenager, you can actually use these techniques to help you. Okay, these are just really simple things that might break down the conversation a little bit so that it doesn't turn into a screaming match before you realize it. Your teenager will start to hear you expressing how you're feeling, and they'll start to hear you really trying to understand what they're saying, and hopefully y'all will be able to be on the same page at some point.
Because, you know, kids are gonna mirror what you do for them too. And so if you are wanting them to be more open and more, you know, listenative, I don't know if that's a word, but we'll go with it.
Listenative.
Hey, we're making it up. Attentive would be good. That would probably be the Webster's definition of listenative. So,
okay.
You know, but as you do that for them, you will be subtly teaching them how to do that for you.
Right,
so they'll
right.
pick it up.
Okay. One of the things that it's okay to do is to allow you and your teenager to have a timeout. If y'all can see that if you can already see that this is going to turn into a big, ugly thing, right then you just say, "You know what? We just need to take some time away from each other for a few minutes. We'll talk about this in just a couple of minutes."
Yeah.
But this is not going to go anywhere good.
Take five.
So
click and sit. Yeah. And everybody go to your corners. Everybody go to your corners. I mean, even
right.
boxers need 3 minutes to spit the blood out of their mouth and start over. So, you know, you take a little bit of time, you regroup, you in through the nose,
right,
out through the mouth, and start over.
Right. So give yourself a timeout from the situation. That is okay. That doesn't mean a forever timeout. That means a few minutes that to gather yourself.
That doesn't mean this conversation is over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It just means, you know, it's escalating. You can recognize it's escalating. So take a breather. You know, something else that you can do is you can recognize the triggers and don't put your finger on the trigger. And so if you know that when you call your kid lazy, even if they are, that it just explodes everything, don't call your kid lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay away from that. Okay. Talk about needing some help or, you know, talk about, you know, a strong work ethic, but don't use the word lazy if you know that's a trigger word that sets everybody in the household off. Because let me just tell you, kids know your triggers and they're not going to be as hesitant to pull them as you are. Listen, you're the parent in this situation and you are the one that's modeling or should be modeling correct behavior for them, even in conflict. And so if you get exasperated and if you are escalated and if you are driving the conflict, your kids are going to get in the car with you and they're going to drive the conflict too.
Oh, yeah.
And so part of what you have to do as a parent is know that you are setting the scene for how this conversation is going to go. And you're training your kids at every moment how to handle conflict. So how are you handling it? You know, be a little more intentional about the way you fight.
Right, right. One of the things that you might want to do is you know that your kid is going to be screaming, so you have to really practice keeping your voice calm. So even if they're screaming and your temptation is to yell right on back, you might need to practice just keeping yourself calm, keeping your voice calm, because the more you're yelling and the more escalated y'all become, it gets worse and worse and worse. So one of you has to have this mind, the sanity to be able to keep your voice calm. The more you keep your voice at a calm, normal level, the more likely they are to keep their voice at a calm level. And it helps to de-escalate what is happening in your household during that time.
Because, you know, when you're in conflict and it's getting louder and louder and louder, it stops being about resolution and starts being about winning.
Right.
And you know, we've said 1,000 times, if we've said it once, conflict is not about winning, because when you're in conflict at home, nobody wins. It's about resolution and it's about bringing this to an end in a way where everybody can quote unquote win.
Yeah. If you know that you can't keep your voice at a normal level while you're arguing, this is the time to take a time out.
Yeah.
Time yourself out.
Or have your argument at McDonald's. I mean,
well,
you know,
that probably wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I could just, it
unless
would just
you'd
be
screaming and yelling at McDonald's. You don't want to do that, but you know.
Okay. So, let's talk about ugly words and ugly attacks. And Darren kind of touched on this just a little bit, but if you are prone to calling names and saying really ugly things, do not be surprised when your teenager says it to you.
Right. Because, I mean, ultimately here it is. If you want respect, you need to give respect. And so, you know, how you want your kids to be treating you during this argument is the way that you need to be treating them. Kids don't understand that the office of parent is what deserves respect. They give you respect based on your person, not based on your persona. Okay.
Right.
So they're giving you respect based on the kind of respect you give them. They're not giving you respect based on the fact that you hold the office of parent. And so
they used to, but once they turned teenagers, that all went out
the
door.
Yeah, that all went out the window, no doubt.
Uh-huh.
So give respect. Don't be a name. I mean, let me just say to you, you're a grown up. You shouldn't be calling people names, especially your children. So if you're doing that, I'm just going to not be nicey-nice. I'm going to say, shame on you. You should not be doing that, okay? Be the grown-up. Give respect, because I will promise you that teenagers don't get respect anywhere. Their teachers, 90% of the time, do not treat them with respect. Their bosses, 90% of the time, do not treat them with respect. So if you, as their parent, come in and treat them with even just a small modicum of respect, that is going to earn you miles of respect in return.
Right. And for some of you out there, the best scenario is going to be that you just let your kid do their screaming, yelling, stomping, slamming the door. And then when they calm down, you're able to talk about the fight later. Some of you, you're just not going to be able to talk while you're in a conflict. And so keep in mind that sometimes it's just going to take the calmness of the aftermath to be able to
peace talks.
Yeah.
You want to have peace talks.
To talk about that.
You don't have peace talks in the middle of the war. You get out of the war zone and then you have the peace
right.
talk.
And don't only talk about the actual situation of the fight, but talk about next time we're not going to do this like this. You're not going to storm out of the room and slam the door. We're going to try to talk this through. And here's the rules. I'm going to use active listening and mirroring, and we're going to take a timeout.
I'm going to keep my voice very calm at all times.
Whatever that is, it's okay to set down some rules for how you're going to fight in your household.
And you know, I think the best rule, Katie, is found in Scripture. In all of this, this all goes back to those love passages found in 1 Corinthians 13. What does it say?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. You know, everyone equates these love verses to marriage. But really, when these verses were written, the love verses were written because the church was fighting with each other.
I know,
all
that's
these
shocking.
People were fighting.
The church doesn't fight with each
yeah.
other.
And so this is what the disciples said to the church when they were fighting with each other and they were in conflict. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. And it goes on and just talks about that the greatest thing is love. And without love, we have nothing. And so if you want to follow rules for fighting and keeping your house de-escalated in the midst of total conflict, parent, you be the one to step up. You be the one to love. You're the grown-up. You can do this. They may not be able to, but every behavior that you model for them will come back to you in the end.
You've been hearing from us. Now we need to hear from you. Let us know how the podcast is helping your family and leave suggestions for future podcast topics. Email us today at melinda@minfluence.com. We're just a click away. We're glad to have had you with us today at my podcast. Music provided by Judd Cossum. For Darren, Katie, and the entire Millennial staff, I'm Melinda Kitzmiller, helping you impact generations for generations.